Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Victory to God, victory to the light. God's blessings richly be upon you. So lovely to be broadcasting here from Borrego Springs. Thanks to Rick and Judy, we discovered where Dr. Lewis and Bob Bramer's homes were, and Rajasi's, that had been moved from the original property. So it's lovely to see these homes and see where these great saints lived. I'd like to read this morning from the posting, Fulfilling Your Purpose, Fulfilling God's Purpose as well. Knowing your purpose in life is essential to all. Lose that purpose, and you lose not only your direction in life, but also hope and the value of life itself. A tamasic depression results in a loss of purpose, or not caring about what you know should be important. On the other hand, a rajasic dynamic life may have so many aspirations that there is no real sense for what is important or essential. It is one massive ball of entangled ideas and energy. Sattvic calm, purpose, has clarity. It keeps the soul grounded in practical action, actions that are tied to life's greater purpose. As a soul, you come into a lifetime with goals for which you want to learn and achieve. A goal may not rise to the elevation of purpose. Purpose speaks to the reason for taking an incarnation. But purpose comes with a burden. If you do not accomplish your burden, your purpose in life, it is a terrible letdown to the deepest part of who you are. Buying the latest cell phone may be a goal, but it does not speak to your purpose. Completing a degree, establishing a business, raising children, moving the world forward in some great endeavor, attaining a high state of realization may be the kinds of things that speak to your purpose, for why you were born. Purpose is not something that can be handed to you. It is something you must discover for yourself. My grandfather started a fruit and produce and trucking business. My father always saw himself going into business with his father, which he returned to when he was discharged from the Coast Guard. My mother had said she thought I would go into business with my father along with my eldest brother. Although this would have fulfilled her expectations, my father never voiced his thoughts on the topic. It was clear to me that my direction and future were elsewhere. In my case, from my late teens onwards, the only thing that spoke to me about my purpose was self-realization. Everything else in life only made sense to me under that one umbrella. I was willing to do things in the world as long as it fit in with realizing God. Knowing God was the first thing in my life to which I fully committed myself. While growing up, I played sports, was a student and a Boy Scout. I worked many hours for my father's business. I played and caroused, but nothing I did was wholehearted. I take no pride in that fact. I think that I did not get the greatest advantage from any of these activities by not giving it my all. I did not understand it myself. Only when I met Mother did I commit myself to anything fully. I know that it's not everybody's story, and you have your own way to wend to fulfillment. What is essential is that you know why you have come, that as long as you are drawing breath, there is yet purpose for you to fulfill. It is important that you not enter a sinkhole of tamasic mood into which you are uninspired. One of my great objections to the drug marijuana is that it robs the individual of motivation and purpose, complacency being one of its primary side effects. That fits hand in glove into a tamasic mood, even though it initially brings a kind of euphoria. To be alive to your purpose, brings life energy, enthusiasm, creativity, all life-affirming attributes. The other side of that guna coin is rajasic overstimulation, in which you are busy, 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 without never a moment. In all likelihood, if you ask a driven person about purpose, a rajasic would give you a laundry list of things on the agenda. This is not purpose. They are goals. Purpose is the guiding star that makes you aspire to something greater, keeps you pointed in the right direction, and helps simplify your life from being loaded down with overactivity. The classic office sign of rajasic mode says, "The hurrier I go, the behinder I get." In that case, the thing to do is to slow down. Get off the gerbil wheel long enough to become quiet and orient yourself to knowing your purpose, not just your goals. Why have you taken incarnation? While achieving goals is necessary, why are you here? You may find there are a lot of activities you are doing that have nothing to do with why you are here. In fact, this busyness actually keeps you from accomplishing essential things in your life. The sattvic way moves you toward the mark. The body and mind slows down. Alert calmness allows you to tune in to your soul's purpose, coming from a very deep part of you. When you tap in to this, you simply know that it has been true for you from before you were born. Purpose is inspiring, life-giving, and in accomplishing it, you truly know that you will feel profound satisfaction. There will not be 1,000 of such purposes in your life. It will be comparatively few. It may connect with profession, family, and children, some service to do in life, the perfection of some art or creative endeavor. It can relate to physical achievements such as sport or perfect health. It can relate to any topic at all, but it must rise to the standard of being connected with the real reason you were born. Purpose uplifts an activity you are engaged in that is aligned with why you are here. For instance, if being in service to God is your purpose, then going to a work in which you see yourself in service to God, in your customer, or the useful role that your product plays in people's lives, elevates any beneficial work that is dharmic into seva, loving service to others. All activities, sweeping the floor, washing dishes, driving somewhere, educating yourself, any and all activities in alignment with purpose, makes it worthy and fulfilling. Please take some time here. Focus on the purpose you know, how you are doing, staying on track with that purpose. Also check in with your deeper self. Is there any unacknowledged purpose you do not yet know or have been pushing into the background? First thing to do is to discover that true purpose in life. First things first. Every life has purpose. Even if your body does not cooperate in any other way, your purpose can be as a prayer warrior for God. As such, you see every person, every situation in life filled with God's light and life, working its way towards His perfection. Your light can extend out over all this world, and even beyond. That is a mighty purpose. I know that my purpose is to fulfill what God and Gurus have asked me to do, to love and serve Him and Him in you. Writing this posting is in keeping with that purpose. Another purpose is to publish Mother's words and books and formats that are fitting to her work. That is a work in progress, and we are making good headway on that front. Another purpose is to be in perfect harmony with the body through eating the right foods and the correct amounts, to have no impediments to the life flow of life energy through this body, and for the intelligence of God to manifest through this brain. Every day, this is an exciting exploration. an overarching purpose is to be a perfect instrument for God in thought, word, and deed, to be in keeping with His will every moment of every day. This, you might say, is my meta-purpose in life. I find all of these stated purposes absolutely true for me. They are all inspiring and are pole stars that keep me tremendously enthusiastic about life and in forward motion, rising to higher levels every day. It really does not get better than that. Your challenge is to be clear on your purpose and to be exactly on track with achieving it, so that when it comes time to draw your last breath, you may say, along with the Christ, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and then it is finished. You know that you have completed the purpose for which you have taken incarnation. You feel in perfect accord with the divine will and can in all conscience commend yourself to the highest light of your being. That is what the infinite has desired for you from the foundation of time. And from Papa, "Life has a beautiful meaning and purpose. What is required to set life free and make it blessed is to do all actions in the spirit of perfect surrender to the will of the all-wise Master, the Master of your being and of world existence. This is possible in all fields of activity in which you are placed in consonant with your nature and attainments. Life is a game with which you play as you play with a doll. All the emotions and passions you exhibit in this play are the necessary and inevitable movements of it. When you observe as an unaffected witness this most wonderful game of life, made up of the clash of ideals, interests, and thoughts, you realize that it is there before you only as a sport and nothing else. The goal which Ram Dass places before all people is nothing short of independence and freedom, born of a submission to the divine power which controls, guides, and actuates every individual in the course of his or her life on this earth. To live like down-driven cattle is not the purpose of life. Each individual has to draw upon all the latent resources of his or her existence, in order to rise to the height of absolute freedom, a freedom by virtue of which he or she yields wherever it is necessary to yield and stands firm like a rock wherever it is proper to do so. To be a timid creature without firm convictions, vacillating at every passing breeze and circumstances, indeed, to become an object of pity on the part of some and of derision on the part of others. Success and failure be the same to you, is a truism to be realized in order to attain a peaceful mind. Whatever God determines should be implicitly believed as for the best. Really, every loss, failure, and misfortune is pregnant with absolute good. It must be recognized with full faith that at the back of the relative mind exists a divinity which causes all its workings, a divinity which is the very abode of peace and bliss. Success in life depends upon a daring and determined course taken up through unshakable faith and confidence. Vacillation is the greatest handicap to success. By taking complete refuge in the Almighty, you should decide upon a definite line of action, and then, by an unflinching perseverance, carry it out through good or ill. When taking such a step, do not rely for help and guidance from anybody in the world except upon yourself. God, the great self in you, is your guide and help in all matters. In accordance with His command, pursue any path which prompts you. All power, strength, and wisdom are within you, because the Great Self, who is all of these things, is your true being. You will see that your life is a magnificent success. Harbor no doubts or misgivings. Faith and grit win the race. Strengthen your will by surrender to the divine will. Turn your mind within the divine peace. Rouse yourself in every way and bravely fight this battle of life, which is the battle for all alike, and come out triumphant as a soldier of love and peace and goodwill. Life is a perpetual adjustment and readjustment. It is an ever-changing movement on the surface, but in its depths, it is perfect calmness, peace, and stillness. Since universal motion is a wave from the infinite silence and repose, it has the nature of the source from which it has sprung. So bliss is the beginning, the middle, and the end of all things, be it static or dynamic. Really, human life becomes blessed when God brings about occasions for turning its course towards Himself. Thereafter, God takes up such a life and guides and controls it according to His supreme will, which works always for good. Life in every condition can be lived in freedom and joy, provided the soul within remains unattached to the external forms of life. When the flow of life becomes spontaneous, it is always surcharged with the pure glory of service. What a splendid gift a human life is. The man who does not behold the finger of God working in all events and happenings experiences needless suffering. Therefore, peace and contentment belong only to those who have submitted in all the vicissitudes of life to the supreme will of God. Instead of allowing your mind to externalize itself, do make it go inward and mingle and merge in the depth of your being, where dwell everlasting life, peace, and joy. To behold the truth within oneself, and then in all beings and creatures alike, is the true vision of life. The purpose and goal of life is to realize your immortality and the eternal union and identity with the Beloved Supreme, who is the immanent and transcendent Lord of the universe. The object of your life is to be happy yourself and give happiness to others. In fact, real delight consists in so adjusting your life as to make it yield joy to others. If you have faith in God, use this faith in cultivating patience and equanimity. Faith always goes with cheerfulness, resignation, and peace. Be childlike, not childish. Be blissful and free, child of God. Reveal your innate divine nature. Excuse me. Reveal your innate divine nature and diffuse around you always love and joy. By struggle you conquer. Struggle means development of willpower and a gradual awakening to your real purpose, which is self-realization. Make every influence in your life, favorable or unfavorable, work for your spiritual advancement. Give up controversy, discussion, and justification by subduing sensitiveness and sentiment. God's name is your help. Feel less and less the so-called heavy responsibilities of life you have imposed on yourself. The truth is, the moment you are free from attachment and sense possession, the whole world is at your feet. Have no misgivings. Throw overboard world's opinion. Rise above these petty things. Be tremendously earnest and determined in your spiritual quest. It's always so lovely and perfect to read Papa's writings. He speaks such a high level of truth, and it comes through every word that he writes and that he speaks. I bring up this topic of purpose because it is an important one for us all, both to know our purpose in life and also to make sure that we're on track with following that purpose and achieving it ultimately by the end of this life. Purpose are the things that speak to the deepest part of you. There can be no life without purpose. God started out with purpose when he created this entire universe and beyond. He thought to himself what was wanted in terms of creation, and then exerted his will to express it out from himself. The delusion is that this world is separate from God. And indeed, we can look out and see individuals' behaviors and see this is not the purity of God in expression through this universe. However, just as we can go to a movie and watch an actor play any role at all, it says little to nothing about who the actor is when they're not being an actor, when they're just being themselves, an individual. Some of the nicest people make some of the greatest villains. And this is the way that it is with the nature of this world. Everything is a play on the surface. Now, some might argue, well, this is a vicious play at times, and people suffer real pain and real difficulties. And, of course, there is no arguing with that. In any kind of portrayal, in any kind of play or movie, there are villains, and in it, the people suffer the consequences. But you, as a member of the audience, you do not. One time, God gave me a funny vision. And in the vision, I was sitting in one of those multiplex theaters where there are many theaters right next to each other. And it's less true today, but at that time, the walls could be pretty thin between those theaters, and you would hear an awful lot of the booms and bangs and other kinds of sounds coming from the other side of the theater of another movie. And in this vision, I was sitting watching a perfectly peaceful, beautiful, wonderful movie. And then I could hear these tremendous booms on the other side. And I knew that there was some war, some action that was really difficult for the people there. So I went and I walked over to the other movie and I told the people there while they were watching their movie, listen, there's a very nice movie going on next door. Why don't you come with me? They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They were involved in their movie. They wanted to watch the end of it. And if I insisted on keeping going with my encouragement for them to get up from their movie and come to mine, they would get up and throw me out. Such is our attachment to our plays, to our movies. We may complain about them. We may say that there is wrong being done. But ask somebody to give up their attachment to their life, to their movie, and you will find very few takers. It is because we have come to live out this movie. We are entranced by it. We come to believe, just even as you can sit in a theater and there is some action going up on the screen that's just a play of light and shadow and some sound. And you can be in fear, you can have tears of sorrow coming down from your eyes. You can have all the responses of a human being. And it's just a play of light and shadow. It's just a play on the screen. And so it is with this life. But God likes his drama. He likes this creation. He sits in the eternal booth, the projection booth, from which light goes out and then displays its images upon the screen. God does not mistake the dancing pictures and the screen for the real life, for who He is in the projection booth. And we are not helpless in our activities here on earth. We too can join God in that projection booth. We too can see the stream of light that goes out and becomes these images. And when we do, then we can say that this life is but a play. This life is but a projection of God. That it has no ultimate reality. In this world, people die. And when they do, if they are close to us, we are apt to feel sorrow when they do so. But it is just the leaving of the individual from that stage set to another. They continue on with their life. They continue on with their learning. They continue on doing all the things that they have done. Perhaps with a more refined sense of rightness and understanding. But their basic personality remains the same. Now there are certain things that only occur here on this material world. And as a result of that, when we leave this body and we leave this world, we oftentimes leave behind some of the habit natures that are associated and that have kept us bound in this life. And so in the astral life, we feel freer. We feel more expanded. We feel a greater ease in things. But our own desire nature draws us back to this earth. And when it does, we then assume this body, and with it gets triggered all the different attachments, all the different things that have gone on in past lives. Things that we have not resolved, things that we have not detached from. And as a result of that, we feel plagued by these many things that come at us. But you know, God has put us here to become free. Free from attachment, free from identification to any sense role. And even though these things may come up, they are there simply to help you to gain your freedom, not to plague you. I remember there was a period of time of a few years when in meditation I was sitting on my meditation blanket. And suddenly my vision would be transferred to being several hundred feet above Seattle, near the city where I lived. It's looking out over Elliott Bay. And as my vision continued, I then saw this missile coming in and a tremendous atomic explosion. An atomic bomb that went off, and a huge mushroom cloud that started to go up, and then just tremendous blast that was shaking and leveling buildings and burning people. It was terrible. And the first time I had this, it really shook me. I had grown up in a time when there was a reality that the world could have come to that kind of end. It's not completely past us, of course. And so I felt this terror. I felt this shakenness inside of me. And then various thoughts went through me. Perhaps what would happen if I survived such a thing? Would I be burned? Would I be incredibly ill? Would I gradually die of radiation poisoning? Or perhaps be killed in the blast. And a part of me thought, well, I'd prefer to get killed in the blast. So the vision gradually faded, and I went away from that. But every time I came back to my meditation blanket, I never knew when this vision might return, and it did several times over a few years. And it was interesting because my reaction to the vision changed gradually. And eventually I began to see, well, if I survived, then perhaps I can be of help to others. And whether it's medical help or just simply help somebody to ease what has happened to them or whatever it was. And I continued to refine my thinking until finally the last time I had that vision, I was up over the city of Seattle. It happened the same way every time. And then this blast of explosion, and somehow my mind went to the explosion itself. I became identified with the power of that bomb. And I exploded. I rose up. I spread out in every direction. And I felt the power of it. I felt the tremendous explosion. And it did not harm me. Rather, it felt more on the exhilarating side. And then it was like a window opened up, and I felt myself to be seeing it as God sees it. And it changed it completely in that moment. No longer did I have fear. I thought, whatever place God puts me, whether I'm in the bomb and I explode, whether I'm a victim of this, whether I survive this or not, wherever He takes me, I felt that I could calmly go about whatever it was that I needed to do, that He directed me to do. And so going through these various experiences took me to various different levels of it, until finally I saw it as God sees it. And this changed it completely and totally for me. Whatever it is, those things that we have carried with us, either from earlier in this lifetime or other lifetimes, they are there to help to free us if we would but see them as such. Take the opportunity to, when something comes at you like this, you may not understand where it comes from, why it is there, but you accept that God has provided it this way for you. And when you do that, then you also touch in with the projectionist in the projection booth, with God. You draw power from that. You draw comfort from that. You draw light from that. Until you can see this play as God sees this play. Until you see the projection of light that goes out upon the screen. And there's all these dancing features that are going on all the time. And some of them are funny and some of them are sad. Some of them are uplifting and some of them tear you apart. And whatever is going on, you never lose touch with God. This is a great purpose for which we are born. And when we truly see all that is God as God sees it, we are then freed from it. We are freed from our attachment to it. And as a result of that, we can come or we can go. One time there was a devotee who asked Ramana Maharshi, when the master had said that he was going to leave the body soon. And he said, "Master, what shall we do when you are gone?" And the master said, Where will I be?" You see, because the devotee was thinking that the master would be gone. But the master is in omniscience. And as a product of that, omniscience is everywhereness. And any time we think on something powerfully, we can feel our connection with that. I've just finished out writing out my diary notes from when I was at Anandashram back in 1998 and 99. And it has taken me back to those times. I feel and experience myself to be in those same rooms and seeing those conversations unfold as I am copying out the diary notes. And I feel Swamiji's presence as greatly as when I was there. And in truth, he had said to me one time, "Just think yourself to be here and you will be." Now, we have imagination, so we can imagine ourselves doing things, and imagination can be very powerful. But there's a higher level to that. There is a level of consciousness that you experience that when you connect with it, you are truly there. Anywhere in this world, anywhere in this universe, and beyond. You can think on any individual, any place. And if it is God's will, and it's through God's consciousness, that you make direct connection with that, and as a result of that, you are there. You are no longer separate. I think of Mother, whose Mahasamadhi we just celebrated the anniversary of. I think of Swamiji, the two greatest God-realized beings I have known in this life. I can think of either one of them, and I am immediately taken to their feet. I feel their presence. I feel their thoughts actively, not just things that they said to me at one time, but an active connection in this moment. Now, some who have not had that experience may say, well, that's just a fine imagination. But I have experienced both imagination and this connection, this God connection. And I know the difference, and I can tell you there is a vast difference between the two. One is a reality, the other is something that is being manufactured by the brain. So there are tremendous potentials that exist within us, and we are here to explore those potentials, not just to live out a life in an ordinary kind of way, you might say. There are levels of consciousness that man is scarce aware of. And if we would be bold enough to put ourselves in its way, this God consciousness can make us explore everything that is of God. And that is a tremendous thing. And it is all good. It is all light. It is all joy. It is all upliftment when you touch that pure fabric of being that is God. This creation can be rough play, but touching the hem of God is always soothing and comforting and uplifting. And it helps us to understand our role in this life, our purpose in this life. The greatest purpose that we, any of us, can exhibit is the expression of the pure divinity. You know, when we touch that fabric of God, we feel the purity of God. And this is true. And that purity goes past anything that we can manufacture on a human basis at all. It is really something to feel that purity when you touch the fabric of God. And Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, if you were to really ask most people, I don't think many would say that that is possible. Well, we can aspire for that, but we can't ever attain it. That would be their response. But I say we can attain it, because when you touch that purity, when your consciousness touches the presence and the bliss of God, you are changed. You're transformed. It doesn't make you better than anyone else, because we are all made up of God stuff. It's just simply that you realize it then. You are, and have ever been, made up of divinity. So let us seek out the purpose for which we were born. And if we go deep enough and high enough, then we will know that realizing God is very definitely a meta-purpose, a supreme purpose, one that encapsulates all other purposes. Because remember, as Mother said, God is life and life is God. All of life. All of it. And so whether it is you pursuing a profession, children, grandchildren, a high purpose in this life, whatever it is, it all comes underneath that one umbrella. Find out what that is. Explore it for yourself. This is something that is tailored to you, individual to you. It is how God is expressing himself through you, living his life through you. And to live it to the fullest, to the highest, to the best, is fulfilling God's will for you and for this world. Jai Gurus, Jai Mother, victory to Mother. May her light expand and fill this world, transform it into a living image of the divine presence within and without. Jai Guru.